Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Monday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys joining me. A ton to get to in this one. Packers tie the Dallas Cowboys 40-40. What was an epic game with some epic collapses by the Green Bay Packers, some epic moments by the Green Bay Packers in a game that apparently was just destined to be a draw in Dallas. And it was a really weird game. It is 4:08 in the morning as I'm starting to record this. Probably won't get it quite up by my 5 a.m. deadline per usual, but just a little bit after that. This one took a lot to digest. There was a lot to go back and watch, just the game. Even the condensed version of the game was basically an hour long, and just kind of going through and putting together my notes for today's show and some of the key takeaways on offense, defense, special teams, some of the really unique moments in this game. There was really just a crap ton to unpack as I went through the live post game show immediately following. You know, one of the first things I said is, like, if you're looking for a coherent breakdown of this game, I'm like, it's going to be a hot second just because there was so much that happened throughout the entirety of this game. Some real positives, obviously some real negatives. Before we jump into all of it, let me mention that today's show is presented by Alchemy Wealth Management. RetireWithRyan.net. Really easy website, retirewithryan.net. Make sure to check it out. Start planning for your future. Start planning for your retirement. Ryan makes it super simple, super easy. All you do is go to the site and set up a free consultation with Ryan. There's also some free information out there that you can download as well in case you don't want to do the whole consultation thing. But this is for Pack-A-Day podcast listeners and viewers only. So make sure to check that out again over at retirewithryan.net. Also want to shout out our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast YouTube members, Alex Banda, Ian Bissot, and Dennis. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Let's jump right into our key takeaways from this one. The first thing I'll say is that it certainly felt like the Packers play. I don't know if I want to go as far as saying scared, but they certainly played not to lose at the end of the game. And when you play not to lose, more often than not, you don't win. There is a balance that always needs to be had between being aggressive and being smart and being sometimes conservative. Aggressive can very quickly border on foolish, and conservative can border sometimes too far on scared. And I thought there were times in this game, specifically at the end. In fact, let's just jump right there, because that was when this one to me felt like they were playing scared. The fourth down early in the game, you're up 7-0. Your defense immediately got a 3-and-out. Your defense has been outstanding through the first few games of the season. You punt the ball away. You pin them in their own 10-yard line. You immediately basically hold them, get the ball back, go down and score. Like, I had no issue with that decision on the 4th-and-2 early in the game. At the end of the first half, I understand that it felt like, or sorry, the end of the second half, to tie the game, right? To go into overtime. I understand where it felt like maybe they were playing a little bit too timid in that situation as well. I would agree, but only to the extent of I thought they should have been more aggressive in getting into better field goal range. I didn't want to settle for a 50-plus yarder in that situation to have to tie the game. I trusted McManus from that distance. I don't know that I trusted the entire operation, but I still don't like anything, you know, left up to chance on a 50-plus yard field goal. That felt a little bit too much to ask in that situation. Now, it wasn't. He made it. I didn't think there was a real chance to take a shot in the end zone or get into a point where you could have scored a touchdown or things like that. If you go back play by play, rewatch it, check out where everything was. To me, playing for the field goal there made sense. And I don't have an issue. It didn't feel scared to me. I did feel a little bit cautious with how they went about settling for the 50-plus yard field goal rather than trying to get a little bit further. But that worked out fine. They made the field goal. They got it to overtime. So no real harm foul there. When you get to the end of the game and you kick off, you get the defense on the field first. They allow only 3 points. We'll talk about more on that later. and you get the ball back. This was the situation here as I go to my notes here. The Packers got the ball to the 25-yard line with a minute 53 left, first and 10. One timeout. A minute 53 left, first and 10 on the 25-yard line. They get a 6-yard slant with a minute 10 left and one timeout. Then had a 7-yard run, 48 seconds left with one timeout. And that's when things started to get way too fast, way too quick. And it was just way too much mismanagement. Now let's go through the thought process here, right? Green Bay's thinking, if we score a field goal and we give the ball back, Brandon Aubrey is, you know, he's just going to make the kick. Let's just put it that way. They're going to get in field goal range. He's going to make the kick. That's the thought process going through your mind. That's the wrong thought process to have in that situation. If you are a contender, if you are a team that thinks you're the best, go out and show it. Don't wait of like, oh, you know, they could get the ball back and kick. You have the ball, my friend. You have the ball with a chance to go win the game. Go win the damn game. I would much rather in that situation, this is not with the benefit of hindsight or anything like that, swear on everything. I would much rather go for it in that situation, go for the win. And if something happens, if either you have to kick the field goal, they get it back and kick the field goal, or you throw a pick, get a sack, whatever the sack fumble, whatever the case may be, you're first and 10 on the 25 with a minute 53 left. At that point in time, and your offense is cruising, your offense has not been stopped. The end of the game for Green Bay was after the, so starting in the second half, right? It was touchdown, 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 field goal, field goal. And really the field goal drives, the only reason they didn't get touchdowns is because they didn't have enough time. They were not being stopped by Dallas at all. You've got first and 10 on the 25 with 1:53 left. The time is no, you don't even need to worry about the time anymore. Stop burning clock. Just run your offense and go out and score a game-winning touchdown. And it felt like that was almost like a foregone conclusion at that point. The way the offense was moving, the way Jordan was playing, go out and win the game. And they just got way too, I don't even know if it's being too cute. It just, they were not in the right frame of mind. It was, well, we got to be careful. We got to run some of this clock off. And again, I'll say it one more time. The logic is we're going to bring this down where it's either we get the win or we get the tie. Dallas is not getting the ball back. We're either getting the win or the tie. But in an effort to not lose the game, meaning give the ball back to Dallas and let them score again, you almost lost the game. That was the most ironic part of that entire situation, is by doing exactly what you were trying to do, meaning not lose the game, you came within a millisecond of losing the game if that one tick goes off the clock. Go for the win. Go for the win 100 times out of 100 and live with the results from there. And you have to trust your players to go out next to you. Now, the players are not without blame. If you go with that play, there was like after the wide receiver screen, actually it was that, but there was a little check down to Wilson after that. If you look at the check down to Wilson after that, like Tucker Kraft is just walking back to the huddle. Jordan Love seems unsure of exactly, you know, are we running a play? Are we like, what are we doing? That, by the way, that's on coach as well. That's not just like that you cannot have players just like, oh, let's take a nice stroll through, you know, the stadium as we try to get this playoff. That was this close to being completely catastrophic by not getting that playoff at all, or not being able to kick the game winning or game tying field goal at all. And even still was about as abysmal of a situation as you possibly could have had. It was horribly mismanaged. Horribly mismanaged. No two ways around it. And I think if you just, again, minute 53 left, 25-yard line, one timeout, if you stop thinking about what ifs, what if Dallas gets the ball back? Stop. Go score. Go score. What's your best play? What's your next best play? What's your play after that? However many you need. Go for it. I don't even care. And especially when you get down to the, 12-yard line-ish with 48 seconds left, call your timeout there. If you need to, take four shots into the end zone. I don't care. First and 10 from the 12, take four shots into the end zone. Seriously, go for the win. And until there's that trust within the players and until there's that mentality, you're always going to end up coming up a little bit short in those situations and scenarios. Got to learn from it. Got to learn from it. Kudos to the offense for keeping this game even remotely close into some really, really difficult situations. But takeaway number one, played scared at the end, lucky to get off that final play, and lucky, I guess, to escape with a 40-40 tie. Number two, the offense, 40 points, and Love was fantastic. This was the situations for Jordan Love down the stretch. So at halftime, they're down 16-13. Love comes out in the second half, 4-for-4, 40 yards, leads them on a touchdown drive to take the lead. Dallas strikes right back. It's another touchdown. 23-20 is the score at this point. Now, Love is only 1-for-2 on the ensuing drive for 8 yards, but has that big 25-yard scramble, which had a 5-yard penalty tacked onto the end of it, and he leads the team down the field again for another touchdown drive, 27-23. Dallas answers right back, scores a touchdown. So Jordan Love goes 4-for-5 for 48 yards and a touchdown, takes the lead right back 34-30, including a key touchdown to Romeo Doubs on a 3rd and 10. Doesn't matter. Dallas scores immediately right back, touchdown. Now there's 40-some seconds left. Jordan Love goes 2-for-3, 34 yards, ties the game 37-37. Technically, he was 2-of-4, but the last one was a throwaway just to waste time at the very end of that drive. So 2-of-3, 34 yards to get them into field goal range, tie the game. Dallas goes down, scores a field goal in overtime. He gets the ball back. He goes 6-for-9, 35 yards, including a unbelievably clutch 4th and 6 to Matthew Golden. And the only thing, honestly, that stopped Jordan Love on that drive was probably Matt LaFleur. Love was phenomenal, and the offense putting up 40 was fantastic. And certainly, yes, it's against a really bad Dallas defense, probably the worst defense in the league, but nice to see a pretty impressive bounce back after a really brutal offensive performance in Cleveland just a week ago. So much better from the offense. We'll break all these down a little bit greater detail, but these are just kind of the key takeaways first. Number three, another catastrophic special teams mistake. And this one is unforgivable. It's unforgivable because you just lost a game the week before because of a blocked kick, a blocked field goal. The logical conclusion that one would jump to is that after a blocked field goal a week ago that cost you the game, you're going to spend a lot of extra time, effort, and energy on making sure that that's not going to happen again. And yet, when your offense was dominating, and at that point, your defense was dominating, you're up 13-0, about to kick an extra point, and they block it and return it, and it's a 3-point swing. And instead of 14-0, it's 13-2. Instead of a 14-point lead, you have an 11-point lead. And it would clearly, who knows how that butterfly effect works throughout the remainder of the game, but suffice to say that that 3 points was massive in a game that ended up going into overtime, one way or the other. So that is, I mean, it's hard to be anything but unforgivable when you just, you know, it's the same thing like that we talk about after, like, yeah, that sucked, but, you know, can you learn from your mistakes? The answer is clearly not. There's so many of the same mistakes in this one that we've seen in the past, and certainly on this case, one that we just saw a week ago, and it doesn't get corrected. That's unforgivable. That's very, very frustrating, to say the least. Number four, the defense has a brutal day. There's no two ways around it. It was a absolutely abysmal performance by the defense, led by extremely poor tackling. Pressure wasn't the same, although Micah Parsons did have another really good pressure day. We'll talk about that. And it just didn't feel like the defense was anywhere near as cohesive. It didn't seem like they were confusing anyone. It didn't feel like just a bad day overall. Now, there's some reasons for that. Dak was on fire. We'll talk about that as well. But you had multiple times where the offense got you the lead back, and just whether it's a turnover or a three and out or anything, just get off the damn field. And they couldn't do it all second half and overtime long. They just could not get off the field without allowing points. It was touchdown drive after touchdown drive after touchdown drive. Again, I didn't think the communication was great. The coverage wasn't great. The rush wasn't amazing. The tackling was terrible. Just the antithesis of everything that we've seen over the first 3 weeks of the season. This league has a way of humbling you very fast when you think you're untouchable, when you think you're great, when you think you're amazing, and just when you're feeling like you're on top of the world. You maybe take your foot off the gas just a little bit, maybe lose a little bit of that focus, lose a little bit of that edge. And that's what happens. You allow 40 points in a game. Never, never in any of my wildest imagination could I have possibly guessed that with no CeeDee Lamb and missing two starting offensive linemen against this defense that we saw over the first few weeks, that the Cowboys would go out and score 40 points in this game. And I guess what, 38? Because two were the return for the 2 points or whatever, but still 38 points in this game. Never, never, ever, ever would have possibly expected that. And here we were. And that's in a very, very disappointing game by the defense. One where, again, just should never have got to that point. You just have to have answers. And number five, and this goes right along with the defense, this is a team that's got to find a way to be better with turnovers. You know, they had the big turnover on offense and they couldn't get one. And really, it's a turnover on special teams as well. The block, kick, return, like that's a turnover as well. It's not considered one, but it really is. And then you're just not getting any turnovers on special teams or on defense. That's been a big issue so far. It's honestly one of the reasons I'm kind of excited still about the long-term prospects of this team, because turnovers tend to come in bunches and all of a sudden they can also dry up very quick. So my hope is that they get them down the line when they really need them against good teams and in the playoffs. But right now they're not getting any. I expect this to be a defense that gets a lot of turnovers, especially the way they fly to the football and just some of the playmakers that they have. But that has been anything but the case, and certainly was not the case in this game. So they've got, and it just sets your offense up better too. They've got to find a better way to generate more turnovers. Just has not been something that's been going very well for them so far. Number six, Dak was phenomenal. Never quite lose sight of that sometimes where, now this is, you know, we don't care about Dak. We don't care about the Cowboys. We care about the Packers and what they do, what their prospects are moving forward and those sort of things. Every once in a while, a star player on another team is just going to have a star performance. And it's not even necessarily just because your defense was bad or things like that. It's just, they were feeling it. One of my keys to the game is don't let Dak in a rhythm, because he's kind of like Steph Curry, where if he gets into that rhythm and sees something go through the hoop, you just never know how on fire he's going to get. He can be very streaky. And in this one, he got in that rhythm and he never let go of it. He was just on fire all throughout the game. And it wasn't just post-snap. I thought his pre-snap reads and diagnosing a very complicated Jeff Hafley defense, he was outstanding. I mean, that was A++++ quarterback stuff from Dak Prescott. So just, I know that that's no consolation. I know that that doesn't cover any sins, but just know Dak was phenomenal in this game. And sometimes players on the other team have those performances, and Dak certainly had one of them in this game. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, you and I make decisions every day, but on Prize Picks, being right can get you paid. Don't miss any of the excitement this season on Prize Picks, where it is good to be right. Now, Green Bay has a bye in week 5, which is why it's even more thrilling to get in on all the action on Prize Picks. With no home team to cheer for, it's always more exciting when you're cheering on some of your favorite players in Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jahmyr Gibbs to have a big game in Cincinnati, Derrick Henry to have a monster game on the ground against Houston, and Danny Dimes to bounce back big and get a win against Las Vegas. Now, here's the best part. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to 3 times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's passing yards, rushing yards, and touchdowns? Now you can pick all of them in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. So what are you waiting for? Download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget to use that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. And then my final key takeaway in this one, that was a hell of a football game. I know it's tough to enjoy it as a Packers fan, probably as a Cowboys fan, right? 40-40 in overtime is a really cool game where offenses are just seemingly unstoppable and you just go and blow for blow back and forth. Nobody's quitting. Nobody's submitting. Like that felt like a, you know, 5+ star classic, you know, that you're just watching two unbelievable competitors go back and forth. And if you're a wrestling fan, you're just cheering fight forever because that game is just, it's amazing. Like you just, it feels like they're both just going to keep scoring every single time. Like if that was like unlimited overtime, like, and it just until somebody gets a lead, it felt like we could have been there for like another hour. Like that's how awesome that game was. So it sucks that it was not a win for either team. And certainly it sucks for Green Bay fans that it was not a win at all for Green Bay, but that was a hell of a football game. And, you know, at some point, hope you have the opportunity to go back and somewhat enjoy that game in some extent, because that's fun football. It's just a really fun game. So not the ideal outcome, but a hell of a football game nonetheless. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. I'm going Jordan Love. I already talked about, obviously, the clutch performances. 31 of 43, 337, three touchdowns, no picks, a 118.1 rating. Also had three carries for 28 yards. I just love how calm and clutch he was in this one. And yes, he would have liked to have seen it, you know, paid off with the touchdown at the end. Like I said, I thought that kind of Matt derailed Jordan more than Jordan derailed that drive in that final drive. And, you know, the sack fumble, I didn't think was anything that was egregious for Jordan. You're calling a deep passing concept in that situation, so you have to kind of get back to your drop and then let it rip. And he's clearly going down the field. In order to do that, you have to have a little bit of time. Sheed gets beat on the outside. Player comes around and knocks it out of his hand. You know, he's going for a play down the field. I don't know how that play would have ended up. We'll talk about why that play never should have happened in the first place, but that to me is not on Jordan. I thought Jordan was absolutely outstanding in this game and not sure he could have done anything different to try to get Green Bay a win. Really impressive stuff from him. I love how clutch he was in this game. Just like no matter what the defense did to give the lead back, he just kept refiring and consistently putting Green Bay in good position. So outstanding stuff from Jordan in this game. Of course, it's not a victory Monday. We don't get a victory pizza, but Luigi's is outstanding no matter what. I'm going to go the ultra thin crust this week. I'm going to go Supreme this week. Just feels right. I think I only get half of it this week because you don't get the full win. You don't get the full loss. So I feel like I still earned something, but I'm going to go half a pizza this week. But make sure you're checking out Luigi's. The pizzas are phenomenal. And if you're just feeling like, hey, just need a little pick-me-up, no, Luigi's got you. The fresh sauce is so incredible. I love their fresh dough pizzas as well. The Big Daddies, the garlic dippers, they're all there for you. Make sure to check them out over at luigispizza.com as well as on social media at Luigi's Pizza. Let's also get to our Habish, Habish, and Rotier injury report. This one did have some injuries along with it as well. Devontae Wyatt goes out with a knee injury. That's one we're going to have to really keep an eye on. He did not return to the game. You never like hearing knee. Looked like it was kind of like his kneecap went hard on the turf. I don't know what that means or how long he's going to be out for. We're going to have to, again, monitor that. The bye is certainly coming at a good time for Green Bay, coming off two disappointing performances and multiple injuries that Green Bay is trying to fight back from. We'll see where Watson's at and Marshawn Lloyd. You know, some of the PUP players are, you know, is Colin Oliver good to go? Is he going to practice, you know, after they come back from the bye? Obviously, the offensive linemen, Zach Tom, Anthony Belton, Aaron Banks, are they going to be good to go? Lots of questions with injuries. Devontae Wyatt, again, one of those as well. Nate Hobbs went out with a concussion. I would assume by the time the bye is over that he'll be back and ready to go. Micah Parsons and Brandon McManus also went out with injuries at one point, although both of them came back and were seemingly fine. And then Josh Jacobs went out with a knee issue, but it was a cut. He had to get stitches and went back in and was fine from there. Shouldn't be an issue moving forward, I wouldn't think. Of course, serious injuries need serious representation. And that's exactly what you get with Habish, Habish, and Rotier. They've recovered millions for clients across the state of Wisconsin because to them, getting you the compensation you deserve is not just a game, it's a commitment. When you call Habish, you're going to talk to a lawyer directly. Their number is 800-242-2874 or 800-2-HABISH. You can also find them online on habish.com. Habish, Habish, Rotier, national reputation, hometown service. Visit habish.com for more information or call 1-800-2-HABISH. As far as inactives for this game, Zach Tom, Aaron Banks, Anthony Belton were pretty much known ahead of time. Kamal Haddon and Warren Brinson were the other two. I've questioned for the first few weeks of like, are you cutting yourself too thin along the defensive line? Like just four defensive tackles, it just feels like you kind of want that one more. I get in certain games, like it may not work out that way. Ben Sims was probably not needed all that much in this game. I'd have to go back and see what his contributions were on special teams, and maybe he had more of a role there than I recognized in real time or whatever. But Warren Brinson would have been nice to have, certainly after Devontae Wyatt goes out. Maybe that's a little bit of benefit of hindsight, but that's been something I've been questioning. It just feels like four defensive tackles is cutting yourself a little bit thin, especially if there is an injury. Wyatt goes out, and you could just tell Stackhouse had to play a lot more. That didn't necessarily go great. And then Wooden and Brooks, just those interior players got worn out through the course of the game. Of course, overtime doesn't help either. But I do wonder if, again, maybe again, just benefit of hindsight, but if Brinson wouldn't have been a better choice than somebody maybe like Ben Sims in this one. But tough to say going into it, but I would always probably prefer the extra defensive tackle, going with five defensive tackles rather than going with four tight ends in that particular game. Defensively in this one, we know they allowed 40 points. As I mentioned earlier, this is one where it felt like they got humbled. They probably started to feel on top of the world. They were the best defense in the league. Nobody was going to be able to put up points on them. They had the perfect formula. And as soon as you start maybe feeling yourself a little bit too much, feeling like you're on top of the world, you get punched right in the mouth. And Green Bay got punched in the mouth. The disappointing thing for this, and is very uncharacteristic of a Jeff Hafley coach defense, is that it felt like they had no counterpunch. It really felt like they didn't have any secondary or third idea to kind of fight back and say like, well, you're doing this now. Well, we're going to do this. Maybe they did, and that just didn't work either. But it felt like Dallas was just a step or two ahead of Green Bay's defense all day long. I don't know if they had a tell of like, hey, if they do this, they're going to do this or whatever the case may be. But it just felt like Dallas knew what Green Bay was going to do before they even did it. And again, credit to Dak Prescott in this one because he was fantastic making checks at the line of scrimmage and getting them into advantageous looks and then knowing exactly where to attack. And again, this defense, it's been very confusing for pretty much every other quarterback that they've played against. So heck of a game for him. Missed tackles were a huge portion of this game. They got to be better tackling than that. That's an unacceptable level of tackling. That's something they're going to have to improve moving forward, or it's going to be a very short playoff sprint for Green Bay in this season if they can't do better than that. Didn't feel like they really married up coverage and pressure all that well. It felt like every time they got pressure, it seemed like the defensive backs were playing too far off. And then it felt like when they were playing aggressive, the pressure was not getting there, and you got some of those plays down the field. Just didn't feel very cohesive in this one. As mentioned, Dak was fantastic, but only one sack, which was a 0-yard loss, right? That one, which was a great play by Micah, but they didn't get any big negative plays, no turnovers, and just felt completely lacking in disruptiveness and disruption for the Dallas offense. And it just kept them in manageable down and distances all throughout the course of the game. Micah Parsons, I know, maybe seemed a little bit quiet. He had 8 pressures, 1 sack, and a 34.5% pass rush win rate. And that's while getting doubled and held for a good chunk of the game. So yeah, even though it may not have felt like he was super impactful, just know he was still having a very impressive performance overall. Would you have liked to have seen him have like 3 sacks, whatever? Sure, but that's kind of asking a lot. I still thought he had a really nice day in this one. Just needed a little bit of help from his friends on defense and just did not get it at all in this game. Nate Hobbs, their big free agent acquisition on defense, 6 targets. This is at one point in the game. Tyler Brook tweeted this out. I don't know what the end numbers were. I couldn't find it, but 6 targets, 5 catches, 57 yards, 2 touchdowns, and a 145.8 passer rating at one point in this game for Nate Hobbs. It was a rough day at the office. And then you know, I was calling for Carrington Valentine. I thought Valentine's the better outside cover corner, and Valentine comes in and has his worst game in, you know, probably since being dribbled off the turf in Philly by Dallas Goedert. That was pretty bad by Valentine, especially that play on Pickens where he just completely overran it. Some tough stuff in this game from the outside corner, specifically Nate Hobbs and Carrington Valentine. Offensively, it was a really nice bounce back game for Green Bay, putting up the 40 points. The run game got going a little bit more. Wilson and Jacobs combined for 30 carries for 130 yards, and Jacobs added another 70 plus through the air as well. Wilson had some through the air also, so that was a really good day for the backs. Romeo Doubs, really impressive performance. 6 catches, 58 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also had a huge clutch catch on third down a couple different times in this game. So he was outstanding and came up with big plays when Green Bay was at its moments of biggest need. I don't know if I've ever seen a play like the Matthew Golden and Dontavian Wicks play early in the game where they both are basically completely behind the Dallas secondary and Love throws it deep and they're both like almost just like looking at each other, and Wicks did a good job of like pulling up so that Golden could get the ball. I'm not sure who is at fault there, but I don't think I've ever seen a play where it was like a Packer covered by a Packer and then a Cowboy trailing well behind the play. But yeah, that was a new one for me for sure. Let's see. Matthew Golden with the beautiful clutch catch. That was awesome. And it just goes to show you again that those strong hands are really important. He uncovers on a key fourth down, and then Love just absolutely bullets one in and he catches it low to the ground and just doesn't bobble it at all. I know it was announced as a double catch. It wasn't. Big time play for Matthew Golden there. We talked about the early fourth down decision. I think the Packers offensive line deserves some credit, so much better than they were a week ago. Not perfect by any means, still some penalties, a really bizarre Elgton Jenkins penalty that I don't know what they're calling there, but I thought overall they were much better this week. Still a lot of opportunity for improvement, but all things considered and knowing that they were without Belton and Zach Tom and Aaron Banks, I thought they held up and really did their part to get a win in this game. The only other thing I wanted to talk about on offense is the play before halftime. It feels like right now Matt LaFleur can't get it right when it comes to should he be aggressive or should he be passive. End of the game, needed to be aggressive, went too conservative. End of the first half, needed to be conservative, went too aggressive. I know that people just feel like, oh, he's too conservative. He's not. He's very aggressive at times, and he's very conservative at times. And right now, the streams are just crossed. And I think some of it is honestly bad luck / happenstance. And I don't know if the other is just feel for the game or whatever it might be right now. That before the half, right? You're up in that game by 4 points. And I know that Dallas is going to get the ball back in the second half. There's a piece of me that understands right before half, like, let's see if we can get a field goal range, especially the way kickers are kicking field goals now, right? I understand that to some extent. You just had a false start penalty. You just had a false start, and now you're first and 15 on your own 26. You have no timeouts left, and there's only 21 seconds left in the half. I'll repeat that one more time. 21 seconds left, first and 15, ball on your own 26 with no timeouts, and you're up by 4. And if by some miraculous situation, Love rips one to the opposing team's 40-yard line, and you get up there and you spike the ball and you get set for a 57-yard field goal, are you even that confident that thing's not getting blocked and returned? Seriously. And I know you can't think like maybe that last part. There was no part. Once you had the false start penalty and it's first and 15, you have no timeouts. You're on your own 26. Just run 3 times and get the heck out of the half. Instead, you drop back to pass for a deep ball and the defensive end comes around, knocks out the ball. They recover and they're going to get one play on offense before attempting the field goal. And Green Bay's defense was set up extremely poor in that situation. I don't know if they were trying to knock him out of field goal range, which you're not going to do anyway with Brandon Aubrey. That's got to be like 5 across the end zone in that situation. It can't be quite that because you can't allow them to get to like the 5 yard line or anything, but it, you just can't allow a touchdown there. You cannot allow a touchdown there. So that was unforgivable for a variety of different reasons, but that was an instance where Matt needed to go conservative and he went aggressive for really no reason. And it really backfired in a very catastrophic way. And then the defense did him no favors by immediately allowing a touchdown with no time basically left on the clock and just a all-time bad end of first half implosion that cost them in a extremely significant way. Special teams, what do you want to say? Not only obviously the blocked kick, but the kick returns were a problem. They continued to get pinned at their own 20-yard line because they would get the ball in the landing zone and then have to kneel it down, which means you get it at the 20. That's a 15-yard loss on that play going from the 20 to the 35. You've got to be able to understand exactly what they're trying to accomplish. Aubrey was amazing at it, but then you need a player up to catch it or just get ready to catch it with a running start so you can still bring it out. Just, yeah, very, very tough situation there. Didn't think Green Bay was well prepared for those sort of kicks. So kick returns were bad. Your punt return team was so clueless that you had to go to Romeo Doubs as a punt returner. And you have an open roster spot, by the way. You had 52 guys on the roster. Sign a punt returner if you need one. Just go out and sign one. This isn't complicated. If you need a punt returner, go get a punt returner. They don't have a punt returner. If you don't have a punt returner, you need to find one. They need to find one. They don't have a returner. And it's scary every single time a returner goes back there for Green Bay. That's unacceptable. And then the big one, obviously, outside of the block kick was Green Bay goes down and scores the touchdown, the big Romeo touchdown, minute left in the game. You're up by 4 points. You're up by 4 points. And the special teams kicks off and immediately allows like a 48-yard return, something like that. I think it was like a 48-yard return. And then Dallas goes down and scores in 3 plays, all set up by the huge return. We'll be right back. Hey friends, football season is here, and that means you're going to want to have a VPN set up to make sure that you are ready to watch the right sporting events that aren't always available in your region. I'll be honest with you guys. A few years ago, I didn't even know what a VPN was. Now, I use my VPN daily for a variety of different reasons, including protecting my private data, changing my browsing location, and having the best premium cybersecurity at all times. And that's why I use NordVPN. NordVPN is the fastest VPN in the world, which means no buffering or lagging while streaming. Plus, world-class cybersecurity, the ability to utilize it on up to 10 different devices, and a VPN that I know is going to work every single time. There's simply no better choice than NordVPN. So here's what you need to do. Go to nordvpn.com/packer to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan. That link, nordvpn.com/packer, will also give you 4 extra months on their 2-year plan. There's zero risk with NordVPN's 30-day money-back guarantee. The link is in the podcast episode description. So what are you waiting for? Go to nordvpn.com/packer today and get NordVPN right now. Sports are all about competition. Every snap, every possession, every clutch moment matters. That same energy is what 1v1me brings to video games. Every single day, you can watch and stake on matchups in Madden, NBA 2K, FC, and Call of Duty Search and Destroy. All the games are streamed live, every match has refs, and payouts are instant. And these aren't just random online lobbies. These are the best players in the scene, pros, streamers, and rivals, with season playoffs and the championship game on the line. Every game matters. Over 100 million has already been paid out on the app, and the community is growing fast. If you're a sports fan, a gamer, or just someone who loves having a little extra on the line, 1v1me is where you need to be. It's not just about winning. It's about the bragging rights, too. Every match has a chat going crazy, and you can back your pick in real time. Download today and use code PACKADAY. Your first stake on the app is risk-free. That's code PACKADAY for a risk-free first stake. Do not miss this opportunity. Just brutal special team stuff. I will give credit to Daniel Whalen, who I thought had 2 really great punts inside the 20. Brandon McManus coming up with clutch kicks in big moments, including right before the end of the game in the fourth quarter, where he kicks a 50-plus yarder to tie it, and then the tying field goal at the end as well. So big-time stuff from McManus and Whalen, but just far too many special teams errors still, no question about it. The other thing that I want to talk about just really quick here, is the Packers' decision in overtime to kick the ball away. So as you know, even if Dallas scores a touchdown, you get the ball back and you have the opportunity to go and rebuttal. And there is a lot of power in knowing what Dallas did first so that you can respond. If Dallas doesn't get a field goal, now you can just go kick a field goal and hopefully win the game with that field goal. If Dallas does kick a field goal, you know you have to at minimum get a field goal. But if you get a touchdown, you win. If you don't, you're going to lose. You have great knowledge going into that drive. There's real value in that. And I can understand the logic because of that. I don't think it's the right move. I really don't. There's two things that you have to remember here that I think need to get taken into consideration. The first is that if Dallas takes 10 minutes on their drive and scores a touchdown or kicks a field goal, the time supersedes everything. You don't get a rebuttal if time is up. You theoretically get a rebuttal, but only with whatever time is left on the clock. The clock still supersedes everything. So if Dallas, for some reason, went on like a 9-minute drive that scored a touchdown or a 9-minute drive that scored a field goal, now you've got a minute left and you're in hurry-up mode to go and tie it or try to win the game. That could put you in some really difficult situations if that were end up being the case. It's probably mostly unlikely, but it's not impossible that you could be in a time crunch. Green Bay was, in mostly due to their own issues, but they ended up being in a time crunch at the end. The other thing that is, I think, more important here is if you kick off, Dallas goes down, kicks a field goal, you get the ball back, you go down, and you kick a field goal. Well, now it's game on. Whoever scores next wins, and now you're kicking off to Dallas because you chose to kick to them first. If you get the ball and you kick a field goal and then they get the ball and you hold them to a field goal, well, guess what? Now you get the ball back, and if you go down and score a field goal, you win. I know neither team had an opportunity for a third drive in this one, but that's basically the reason why Green Bay had to get kind of conservative, is because they were worried that Dallas was going to get the ball back, but they were the ones who put themselves in that scenario in the first place. I understand, again, like why you want to know what they scored first, but there's just too many things that could potentially go wrong there. And I just think because of that, especially that third possession one, where if you're tied and whoever gets the ball next, it's just next score wins, right? I think that in and of itself is a big enough advantage. And also knowing that time could be a real issue if they go on a longer drive, those are real things that you have to consider. I don't think in that scenario, I would want to kick off. I think I want the ball. We're going to have to go down and really do everything we can to score a touchdown on that drive. But especially the way the offense is playing too, I kind of just want the ball, go see if we can score a touchdown, and then go from there. But there's a lot of game theory in this one, because you can also make the argument, if you're trusting your defense, you kick off, hopefully hold them within their own like 30-yard line, get them 3 and out. Now you get the ball in an advantageous position. You kick a field goal, you win. There's a lot that goes into it. But I think for me, I want the ball for a few of those key reasons. But interesting decision from Matt. I don't think it's the right one. I think you got to take the ball and then deal with whatever it is that you've done offensively. You also kind of know, like, you also have the ability to know defensively of like, hey, we kicked a field goal. If we allow a touchdown, we lose. And if we allow a field goal, it's tied, we get the ball back, whatever. So you also know defensively, it's not just offensively, it goes both ways. But I don't know, I would take the ball. It's an interesting conversation one way or the other. Some other quick miscellaneous ones. Clearly an intentional grounding penalty. Should have been called as such, was not. I thought there was a lot of holding that went uncalled, specifically on one Micah Parsons. It is what it is. I'm not usually the guy that's like, look at all that, like hold, you could hold. You could usually call it right, but like this one felt rather egregious at times. Thought it probably should have been an, all right, let me rephrase this. The pass interference in the end that was not called to Dontavian Wicks. Wicks kind of initiates contact first, so I can kind of maybe understand it. But I'll just say, I think that gets called as defensive pass interference like 99 times out of 100. And Green Bay, very unlucky, I guess, to not get the call in that instance. And then last but not least, if we won nothing else, we at least won the fact that this was a scoregami in the first 40-40 game in NFL history. The first time a game's ever ended 40-40. For the Packers, of course, bye week coming up next, and then Bengals at home in week six with no Joe Burrow. Bengals play Monday Night Football tonight against the Broncos, and I believe they have a NFC North opponent next week as well, so you can kind of keep an extra eye on them there. I want to say it might be, it's not Minnesota because Minnesota has Cleveland. I think it's maybe Detroit. It is week five, Bengals against Detroit in Cincinnati. Detroit currently listed as a 9.5-point favorite in that particular game. So Packers, Bengals week six, though, at home in Green Bay. Hopefully, after a bye week, maybe getting some guys back, some time to marinate on everything, Green Bay can go out, get a big win against Cincinnati, and get this thing back rolling in the right direction. All right, that's all I got. Disappointing to be 0-1-1 in the last 2 weeks. No question about it. A lot of season left. This is one quarter of the season with some really good stuff. Wins against Detroit and Washington. Some really bad stuff. A loss against the Browns in Cleveland. And some really awkward stuff and weird stuff with a tie against Dallas, where there's some good, some bad, and certainly some ugly as well. We'll jump into it all week this week. Mike Wall, Justice Mosqueda, Paul Brettel, etc., Karma Vitale. Really looking forward to those conversations. Mike Wall and I will be live noon on Monday today as you're listening to this, so make sure to check that out as well. And then Michael and I will have the episode for Tuesday as well. We'll see you guys there. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle, Sinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hayden Radomski, Devin Lane, Gonzusa, Alexander Newell, Dan Miller, Titletown T, and Bill Reinhardt. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.